This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome to Men Talk, a playful search for understanding and appreciation of men. I'm Ian Ferguson, and I'm here with Donald Pettit.
Kia ora.
Today, this is our first show, and we're trying to try and convince you that we're kind of decent people, and we have something that you want to listen to and learn about. So perhaps, Donald, you could just introduce yourself.
Kia ora, katoa. I'm Donald Pettit. I'm a Canadian guy. I've been here about 28 years, so this is my home. I'm a Kiwi now. Lived in Christchurch almost all of it. Been a hippie up in Nelson for 5 years. Used to be an engineer. Now I'm a social worker, and I'm pretty well known for the men's center, running the Canterbury Men's Center. I set that up about 12 years ago, and I've got a real long, enduring, and curious relationship with men. So this show has been something I've been waiting to do for quite some time.
All right, I guess I better say something about myself
do,
now.
Ian, thank you.
I'm Ian Ferguson, born and bred in Christchurch, lived here just about all my life, spent a little bit of time on the West Coast and a little bit of time in Auckland. I've had a bit of a roundabout careers. I was a peer supporter at the Youth Health Centre, which basically means I was a receptionist with some other things on top. I did a little bit of audio engineering, dabbled in a little bit of photography, but had some mental health issues along the way, and now I'm not working. But that gives me plenty of time to focus on International Men's Day, which we've been running for a couple of years. This year will be the third year, and it seems to be going pretty well so far. Donald, why do we need a show like this? What are we doing here? Is it important?
I think I said a moment ago that this has been a long time coming. For me, it's important to other people, but actually, it's important to me. I've really, really wanted to do this journey because you know how people get behind a microphone and they really are different people. And there's a lot of people I know that have been looking after men or have a really good insight into how men think. And I've been wanting to sit them down in this kind of context and really just pick their brains. So I hope that. That's really useful, but I like learning, really like learning. And guys have been getting to know men has been really, really interesting for the last, especially 12 years. I've taken care of about 1,200 men coming through the Men's Center, and I've had so many stories disclosed to me that I mean, it really breaks down the whole two-dimensional aspect of men, that the caricature that people have in the media, and as well as health providers. So for me, this is a chance for me to get my three- or fourth-dimensional vision going of who men are, but also to get that vision out there. And that concept that men talk captures that, that men do talk. And I've been hearing, maybe you can tell me, what are your aspirations? What are you thinking?
I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to do a show is that people don't really have a good grasp on men and men's issues. Like you said, it's kind of a caricature. It's a two-dimensional kind of idea. And it's not fleshed out, and people don't have that deep understanding. So I think it'd be really good to discuss a lot of those issues in a kind of non-conventional, kind of exploratory way, and get some a wider range of thoughts about it, about men and their issues and what they're like out into the public. Mm. That'll mean I won't have to keep repeating myself.
You can put it on repeat for somebody, I assume.
Yeah. Here's a good, it'd be good to have it. Yeah, it'd be good to have a good record of that we can refer people to with some good information and you know, as a resource as well. Yeah.
Yeah, to capture the spirit. But one thing I reflect on is there's been a real large history that I'm aware of. I didn't know until I got into this job. I just started bumping into people after a while, and they'd tell me, oh, yeah, we were doing that in the 70s or the 80s. And I thought, wow, that's a great untold story there. And I'm looking forward to getting some of the old characters, men and women, in and asking them questions. Well, what were you seeing and what were you thinking of that as well? So it's funny how as I got older, I get more curious about history. And this is my opportunity to do some of that, but also once again to understand the entire breadth, because there's that undertold story, I think, about men and men's not telling this story as much as they could has left a real gap. And I think there's a hunger. I really hope this is something that really interests people like our listeners. I also think it's important to maybe just document it. You know, this is something that's really precious, and I just didn't want to let it slide anymore. So I'm glad I'm here. This is purely selfish. What's your selfish motive for doing this, Ian?
My selfish motive.
Yeah. You spoke about
delve what into my deep dark side.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. You do identify as a man, so I'm assuming that this is your personal exploration of some kind. But is it? Is it something you feel like you feel? I know you feel good about doing this.
Yeah.
But why do you feel good?
Why do I feel good?
Yeah.
I mean, from a purely practical point of view, because I'm not working, it's good to have like a project, something to work on, and feel like I'm contributing something.
Yeah.
Not having a job kind of means that I'm at a loose end and I want to feel useful and needed and valuable.
Yeah.
And so doing something like this is a way to do that. It's a way to for me to feel like I'm doing something useful. And you know, and if you want to get a little bit dark, if I wasn't doing anything, I could just disappear and maybe no one would notice. I wouldn't have those connections
Well, it's part of living a rich life for you to do something you value, and you value this.
Yeah. I kind of have a kind of internal sense of fairness and justice that kind of prompts me to do things. That kind of conscience of like looking at something and going, well, that's not right. You know, someone needs to do something about that. Oh. And you know, I look around. There's no one else doing anything. Mm-hmm. It's not quite that bad, but that kind of prompts me, you know, there's a few things where I look in and go, come on, it's obvious to me that that's, you know, we can improve that, it can do better, you know, there's a bit of unfairness around and you know, I have that kind of nudge to do something about it.
And maybe one of the benefits of this program is we're going to be talking to a lot of people that are doing something to take care of men, to improve their well-being, their outcomes, and I'm one of those, so I'm pretty well linked in. But that's one thing from the beginning with this men's story. The last 12 years, I've been really pleasantly surprised at the number of people that just really want the best for men. I don't think I've bumped into a few dogmatics that talk about social justice or something like that, where they're kind of feel grudges towards men. But generally, almost all of them, it's been like, yeah, you go. I'm right behind you. I've had people walk up and say, I'm a hardcore feminist, but I love what you're doing. So, I mean, to me, this alignment, the stories we're exploring over our journey in this program will be about that. And I think people will be genuinely curious of all stripes. We'll be getting all kinds of people, and I'd hope too. Be good to get people that disagree with us even occasionally in.
Well, hopefully we can disagree with each other sometimes as well.
Oh, I'm sure we will. We do. So, Ian, you're the one that came up with the name Men Talk. We bounced around a lot of names, and I'm curious what you were thinking. What were you thinking when you did that?
Yeah, what was I thinking? There were a lot of names that we came up with which were kind of play too much on stereotypes. I didn't want to sound too blokey, but needs to be blokey enough. You know, yeah. I mean, there's a diverse range of men, and it was required a bit of thought to figure out what would be good for the widest amount of people. What would be kind of appealing to a lot of people and wouldn't put people off. I think the first idea was manly talk, which sounds a little bit like discussions about the rugby or home brewing or something
not that,
like
not that. That we won't have rugby and home brewing. Neither of us are into that, but we could get them on.
I mean, I'm not a drinker, but I'd probably be fascinated by the process of you know.
A zymologist, they're called.
Well, there you go. I've learnt something already.
There you go, yeah.
But, yeah, I really wanted to have something that was widely appealing and didn't kind of lean too much on cliches and stereotypes.
Yeah. Whereas me, I was more drawn to Aardvark's Attack just because we'd be at the top of the Plains FM list.
We did chuck around a lot of names beginning with A, didn't we?
But we dropped that in the end, yeah.
Yeah, M's pretty far down there. We'll have to be really good at what we do.
Middle of the road, definitely. Men talk, and what I liked when you first put that forward, Ian, I saw. I said, yes, this is. I think it's a statement as well. Like I think it's meant to be a few different things. It's quick. It's not a term that's put together very often. But men talk. That's a very interesting assertion because I'm used to it. I mentioned I've had about 1,200 men. I've done needs assessments, full needs assessments, and these guys are all talking. They obviously they're a select group because they're coming looking for help. But I'll take them, and I've had maybe 300 men disclose childhood sexual abuse. 800-900 men. Like I'm going on the average of 70% of those guys, suicidal thoughts or worse. 1 in 6. I've made a recent suicide attempt. So I'm seeing a lot of guys come through the Canterbury Men's Centre, and they are talking. That stereotype about men not talking is remarkable. When somebody says that to me, well, men should talk more, I think, wow, they talk. We just haven't really put out a platform for them. And that's what's been really exciting. That I didn't know this 5 years ago when we really expanded into a counseling service. But the guys are coming and they're talking, and they're guys of every walk, every stripe. They're rich, poor, harmed, traumatized, not traumatized, grief. Usually acute issues going on when guys are reaching out and trying on a different mask. But so men talking, and I'd like to people are talking about men. A lot about where we're failing in it, and I think really society really needs men to talk about how their strength and demonstrate their strength as well. When they're functioning well, obviously you want a healthy culture. You want guys that are coming in that really how to healthy relationships, and I think that deeply masculine is really interesting. I'd like to really explore that on this show, to have guys that are kind of lumberjacks or whatever come in and, men that are really comfortable with themselves as men and talking about that. And because the best men I know can go quite masculine, and they can love a beer and love a rugby game, but they can also really do a deep tenderness as well. And I think that's a masculine tenderness maybe isn't something that's on the agenda on the radar for most people. But I've known it for quite a long time now. I've seen a lot of it modeled, and that's what I'm looking forward to exploring a bit more of.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely think that a lot of the discussion about men and masculinity is a what's wrong, and it's a negative, what needs fixing, it's broken, that kind of discussion. And I want to avoid that. I want to be looking at the positives. I want to look at. Well, I was actually reminded of something I read online. There was a young guy was having trouble. He felt guilty for being a man, and he didn't enjoy the company of men, and he was really struggling. It was really impacting his mental health, and that was just because of the discussion about men was wholly negative. He was talking about how men objectify women and they're too aggressive and so on, and all the negative stereotypes. And that sounds like the only thing that he'd been exposed to. He hadn't been exposed to people talking about how men are. One of the things I really like is that kind of the desire to explore that men have, to see what happens when do stupid stuff. Let's see what happens if I jump off the roof into the pool or something like that. It's a little bit silly and stupid, but there's that kind of desire to find out new things and go new places and break new ground that men have, and that's kind of
It's almost awkward to say men might have a really desirable quality overall that isn't recognized, isn't it? Because part of I don't know about you, but for me right away, I say, well, women have that as well. But there is something that guys carry. I've got a 12-year-old son, 19-year-old daughter, and they're kind of chalk and cheese that the masculinity, femininity, and yet they're both beautiful, wise, intelligent people for their ages. But they embody that gendered difference. So that's something I wonder if we'll be able to get comfortable talking about, saying, hey, men in general have this quality, whatever they are.
Now, that's really interesting. You've reminded me of a study that I came across, I think, end of last year, where they produced a whole bunch of fake studies about sex differences between men and women and asked people to respond to them. Mm. And the studies that showed that women had sex differences that were where they were better than men, people were much more accepting and less critical and less skeptical of those studies.
Yeah.
When the study showed that there was something positive about men, or that men were better than women in some way, people were much more skeptical and more critical and less likely to believe the study. So I found that's really interesting, that we kind of seems to be that we accept women's strengths much faster than we accept men's strengths.
And I guess what we'll be doing on this program is exploring where the motivation, if that kind of assertion is true, and what's the motivation for it? Is it a social? Is it a biological? Those are usually the two reasons that people bat around. Once again, we're not researchers, but I have done a limited amount of research myself into male victims of domestic violence, but that not university level. But I'd hope we'd get any New Zealand-wide researchers on board as well to give us some feedback about their processes and what they're finding, because there aren't a lot of people in New Zealand that are researching men, for example. Mm. It doesn't pay very well, frankly.
Yeah, I was in contact with a researcher who's wants to study male suicide, and he doesn't have any funding, and he's just doing it off his own back, which it's going to be slow process to try and get anything happening.
Sure.
So I offered help. I don't know what I can offer, but I said, look, if I can help.
Yeah, it's a small community, and especially that aspect of male suicide is very much quite interesting for me as an advocate for men, and realizing that there's no program. Despite the $40 million that's gone out, for example, for the next 3 years' budget, no program's been started for men beyond Māori and Pacifica. I'd be receiving funding for Māori and Pacifica programs. There's a lot of men out there that should be being used for men right now, and it's not. You know, they were targeted in the policy. So that's what we will be talking about, national policy, I'd hope, as well. I'd be very open to getting an MP on from each of the parties if that was something they'd be interested in as well. And usually they're quite accessible in New Zealand. So I'd be really curious as well to pick their brains and get them thinking, or have them telling us what they've been thinking about men and how they relate to their policies and aspirations for their particular party.
Yeah. One of my interests is in that kind of policy stuff, and I've kind of looked into it, and I've done I've made submissions to the UN regarding human rights, and then I'm pursuing those kind of things, and I think there is a kind of a lack of political will to do things for men because they're men.
Yeah.
I mean, there's political will to do things that will benefit men, but it's just not labelled as a thing for men.
Because there's no upside, let's say, to say this will improve men's well-being. I've never heard a politician say that, so or anybody inside the systems.
No, I don't think I've heard that.
You know, it has to be something else, like people would be better because, as compared to men. So
Even like something like paternity leave, where men can take time off to be with their new child.
Yeah.
is framed as we need to do this because it will benefit women.
Yeah.
And there's very little talk about how we should do it to benefit men.
Yeah.
Just so because
they'll be
they
richer.
Deserve it.
Yeah. You know? That's right.
Men are human beings.
I know. It's funny, I find myself as well sympathizing with that logic, and yet it's mind-boggling for me as well that the men do deserve care and do deserve to be supported, to be engaged in their kids' lives. And obviously there's a biological end to women needing recovery time and so on. But, you know, we can go well beyond that. This is where you and I will come in with incomplete knowledge about what's being done overseas. In policies like this, as we take on issue by issue. But, you know, I guess that's part of this. As you and I do this fortnightly, we'll be digging into particular issues and coming up with the data and bringing it forward for a discussion and hopefully get a key player involved with it, though there's not a lot of key players, obviously, nationally in many of these aspects. But if we can get informed commentary, then great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to learning some new things and trying to unravel some of the thoughts that I've kind of started that I haven't kind of followed up. You know, you have stuff rattling around in the yep. back of your head that pops out and you can't quite put a finger on it.
That's right.
Yeah, so perhaps I'll be able to catch one of those. And
a focus every fortnight will get us maybe a bit rattled and make it more solid, won't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Do you think this is going to be like something of national usage? Like obviously my personal contacts in Christchurch mostly, and some of them around New Zealand. But are we focusing on New Zealand with this program, or are we focusing on just Canterbury or Christchurch or Ian's Head, or just how local are we going? Do you think?
Well, I'd like it to be something valuable and useful for everyone.
Yeah.
In the country, I mean. Obviously, we're in Christchurch, and that means that we're going to be drawing on resources and people around Christchurch, so that's just natural. But I don't think Christchurch is completely unique.
No.
The things that people face in Christchurch are the same things in other centres. We had an earthquake. Okay, fine.
Sure.
But I'm hoping that it'll be more universal and people will find something useful and valuable wherever they're from.
Beautiful. We're going to take a quick break now. Greg Brown, Telling Stories, is the next song. And I just love this guy's silky, very, very deep voice. So I hope you enjoy.
Yesterday I was a boy running through the woods. My dog was my buddy. The wind was green and yellow. My dad called me together, cedar branches, and soon we were sitting around a fire telling stories. One life, but we remember others as we go from seed to seed, from glimmer to ashes. Our hands are very small, our eyes are very big as we sit around the fire telling stories. Standing in the church, then you moved my way. I never saw anything so beautiful or so ordinary. It seemed like we'd met before in a dream as real as stone. We were sitting around a fire telling stories. Thank you. Everyone is scared, everyone's alone, unless hand reach for hand when the trouble comes. All around the world, when the dark night falls, we should be sitting around the fire telling stories. Like the wind, all we see is change. I tried so hard to hate you, but I love you just the same. When you're gonna visit, when we're gonna be sitting around a fire telling stories. Yesterday I was a boy, tearing through the woods. Oh, my dog was my buddy, and the wind was green and yellow. My dad called to me to gather cedar branches. Soon we were sitting around a fire telling stories.
Welcome back. I'm Donald, and Ian is with me. We're doing Men Talk, of course. Ian, can you tell me what you hope to cover while we're on this program until we run out of steam in the coming years? What particular topics do you think might be coming up? What's hot for you?
Well, one of the things that I've just been doing is making a submission to the UN for the Children's Rights Convention, focusing on the issues for boys. Yeah. One of the issues for boys is education. They're less likely to finish school compared to girls.
Yeah.
They're less likely to get NCEA level 2 and level 3. And their reading skills are about a year behind girls.
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of issues for boys in school. And
so if we were going into that in a future program, like that particular issue, what kind of stuff would come out, do you think?
I'd really like to know more about how we can improve those differences. I think education is an area that we need everyone to be as up to a standard of education.
Sure.
And so it's a real penalty if someone comes into adulthood behind.
Yeah.
Gaps between boys and girls have kind of emerged, and there's been some effort to close them, but we haven't been particularly successful. So it'd be really, really nice to learn about what could be done, what is being done.
And what drives it as well? And once again, biology, nature versus nurture. Definitely you and I know the claims of guys not being treated the same in educational institutions and the system being tilted against boys. So it'd be nice to unpack that and see what we know of, at least. Hopefully we can get some expert in. But it's going to be hard to get experts in for something like that, isn't it?
Mm.
People that are really involved and knowledgeable about those particular issues. But we'll try.
I mean, even just having a chat to a teacher about their experience of teaching boys would be interesting.
Get a principal in for the boys' school or talk about gender difference in that context. What do boys need and what they might be more conscious of the work. That's a good idea. Yeah. What else is coming up with the UN Convention for the Child?
So the other thing that I've put in there is the issue of circumcision for boys.
Oh, don't get me started, Ian.
We'll deal with it mostly in a future show, I think. Show for itself.
I have some stakeholders are really keen to talk about that particular issue, so I look forward to getting that one going.
But it is something which pushes my "that's unfair" button. Because there's a very different approach to how we deal with circumcising boys and the genital cutting for girls.
Yes.
And intersex children as well.
Yes.
Like, the one interesting kind of thing that kind of sheds a light on the kind of double standard is that the Human Rights Commission supports the ban on non-medical surgery for intersex kids.
Yep.
So they don't want, like, cosmetic surgery to make them look more
boy or girl
normal.
Or, yeah, whatever it is. Yep.
So that would mean that that they oppose circumcising an intersex boy,
mm-hmm.
but for a non-intersex boy, they're kind of standoffish and say it's up to the parents to decide, even though it's the same surgery.
Gee, I really hope the Plains FM staff aren't going to be telling us we're off the air after this particular one. But so we're not going to. Are you saying we're not going to pull any punches on this program? We're going to go into some really controversial issues at times, because for some people this is a very controversial issue, and they can mishear. Like I know you personally. I know you do care about female genital mutilation, and you understand the subtleties and the difference with men and the circumcision issues as well. But there's an interesting dialogue that's been started up in the last 3 or 5 years that I've seen, where men are really speaking up about that, what they see as a harm done to them. So so that'll be interesting to get some guys in and talk about that.
I don't think you can pussyfoot around something like that. It's just not useful to sort of dodge the issue on that one. I mean, we really need to. Yeah. It's something that men feel like they've been harmed.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I know some of those men.
And we need to talk about it so that men in the future feel like they're harmed.
And it is still legal in New Zealand to circumcise boys. To me, it's a euphemism, a harmful euphemism. I don't know if I'll be able to get anybody in to really argue for that. But I think of it, I'm not so committed to finding a person to respond to every issue. I don't think we'll be able to do that with the resources we have. I hope we, when we're doing this program, we're trying to present a range of perspectives as well. We steel man, let's say, if you and I are on a side, that we steel man the other arguments. We really try to present them genuinely as well as we can, so that when we're speaking, it's more respectful of the breadth of opinion about some particular issues. But what else is you going to put in this document? You are advocating for men in this, aren't you, as well? I notice. So when you're writing about the UN Convention for Children on behalf of New Zealand as a private individual, what else have you got on the list there?
They were two main things. I mean, there's some health thing, discrepancies between boys and girls that we need to close. I'm obviously focusing on the areas where boys are behind, and that's things like whether there's a lot more boys diagnosed with autism and ADHD, it's called these days. Sure. They keep changing the letters.
A lot more disability, boys with disabilities. There's obviously genetic predispositions and so on for various diseases that more likely to affect boys is what I understand. Two-to-one ratios.
I don't think having a genetic difference or, biological difference between boys and girls is an excuse for not trying to close the gap. If someone is disabled, we don't go, oh, they're disabled, we're not going to try and help them. We don't want them to live as full a life as a non-disabled person. That would be ridiculous.
Sure.
So I don't think
we treat everybody the same here. Just, you know, everybody has to jump this high bar.
Yeah. We need to support people to live full and whole lives, regardless of their biology. Looking at a gap and saying, okay, there's a gap there. Let's say it's 100% caused by biology. We can say, okay, there's probably always going to be some kind of gap, but let's try.
Yeah.
Let's try and help people, you know, live whole lives.
So that would be, I would say, now that I know you quite well, Ian, that's a pattern that you have, that you're actually quite just trying to build a better world, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Unlike me, I'm kind of interested to roast marshmallows while it burns, personally. What? No.
We'll have a fight about it later on.
Okay, yeah, yeah. But I'm actually a positivist like you. I think we've come a long way as humanity. And to me, talking about men, like this has been a conversation, I think. We're getting around to, I think. The older I get, the more I look at history. And I remember being quite moved by Steven Pinker's book, Better Angels of Our Nature, about how humanity's progressed over the last 500 years. And many people point to feminism, but, you know, I point to veganism, vegetarianism, animals' rights, trans rights, gay rights. This is about, you know, school systems, children, rights, non-smacking, we've come so far, humanity, to vote. You know, all these different steps that we've taken along the way, and democratization, the number of countries, democracy, the decline in violence. It's something I'm really, really positive about the future, despite it being quite scary. But men are part of that future, and men are often quite solidly leading that future as well with their creativity. So. That's something that I guess I hope any listener would get out of this, out of our talks, that we're actually quite positive in creating something.
Absolutely. I think that it's very easy to look at the last 10 years or 20 years and say things are going downhill.
Yeah.
But if you look at the last 500 years, then we're actually doing a lot better. I don't think anyone would press the button to go back and live 500 years ago, if they could.
Yeah.
So I like having a solution focused approach. Yeah. Highlighting problems is one part of getting to the solution, but you can't stop.
Yeah.
You know, and I get a little bit frustrated with people who are just pointing out problems.
Yeah.
And expecting someone else to fix them. I think, which is one of the reasons we're doing the show, I guess, is to try and
point out the problems.
point out the problems, but also start to find solutions. And,
of course.
And of course, the first parts of a journey are always kind of frustrating and difficult. I do kung fu, and whenever a beginner comes in, I say, look, and they're getting frustrated and they can't do it, you know, because we're trying to teach them movements that are unnatural and unintuitive for them. And I say, look, to be good at something, first you have to be bad at it. So just keep being bad at it for a couple of months.
Beautiful.
And you'll be on track.
That's beautiful.
Don't try and be good. Just be bad for 2 months, and then we'll have another look at it.
That's great.
And I think that's how we can approach a lot of these issues, is we'll be stumbling around and doing badly for a wee while.
Okay.
Don't get frustrated.
Yeah. And I hope we get feedback. So anybody listening, you know, there'll be a Facebook page. There'll be a chance you can reach us, and email address, I'd hope, and you'll be able to reach Ian and me if you want to say, guys, come on. And I'd be very open to reading somebody excoriating emails to us, and if somebody has an opinion that's quite different that we didn't capture or didn't honor properly in our discussion. So, and I genuinely like hearing people's feedback. So.
Well, one of the things I think is really important for everybody is to have some fair criticism.
Of course.
You can't be sure that what you know is right without having some criticism leveled at it. It's like the Schrodinger's cat or whatever it is. I'm probably completely misusing the analogy, but sure. if you can't see inside the box, you don't know what's in the box.
Okay.
And that's when when someone gives you some criticism, it's like opening the box to see if what you know is right and correct. And if it is, then that's great. But if you need to make some adjustments, then that's good. But unless there is some kind of criticism and discussion, then you can't actually know that what you know is true and correct and right.
True.
So, yeah. Well, let us know that we suck.
I love being told I suck. So so we will make this a visible platform. We'll probably put it on the International Men's Day site or on the web on the Facebook page there and a few other places until we get something really quite sorted.
Yeah, we should be more organized.
Yeah, I'm working on it. And
we're going to be bad at it before we're good at it.
Yeah. But we really hope anybody feels interested in stepping forward. A good place to start is just sign up to the Canterbury Men's Centre Facebook page, because I'll be posting a few things about it over the coming weeks as we go through, and I'll be asking. We've got some activity on that page, about 700 subscribers now that have an interest in men's well-being. So if you see something or want to be involved, you'll be able to reach me in particular. Ian, once we get the International Men's Day site fixed, which I've got somebody working on now, that'll be available soon. What else are we going to cover? What are you thinking? You got me thinking. Men in the environment. Get some guys coming in talking about that. See what it means to those men or us as people as well.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I think we've kind of lacked in the men and environment discussion is that whole kind of history of woodmen who would live in the wood and manage the forest to make sure that. It worked properly, they'd cut out dead trees
I've never even heard of this.
and clear. Yeah, well, exactly. So this is like kind of in medieval Europe. There'd be woodmen who would make sure the clearing. I'm not exactly sure exactly, okay. But it's kind of like things like clearing undergrowth to so that trees can sprout and cutting out old dead trees so that other stuff can grow and I mean part of their job I think was making sure there was enough deer in the forest for the king to hunt and or something like that. Sure. But I think there's a real tradition of managing the environment that men have been involved with that we haven't talked about. So that would be something really, really interesting and useful to delve into.
Maybe another issue might be post-earthquake, the guys that have been involved in doing some of the rebuild, get a few of the tradies to come in and talk about what that's been like. Definitely I'd have rebuild myself, and I spoke to a number of tradies about what it's been like and how it was different from, just building a house before versus engaging somebody who was distraught about insurance companies and so on. It's been a much more of a challenge for those guys, as well as they've cared and been affected by it too. So it'd be really interesting to capture some of those stories. What else you got? What are you thinking? What other matters? Men in domestic violence?
As
victims, to me, that's a thing close to my heart, dealing with guys there.
I mean,
that's a very undertold story, but obviously we'd get guys, people talking about men in perpetration as well and mutual perpetration. And
yeah, well, the Ministry of Justice just released a report on the offender demographics.
Yeah.
I think we can agree that men perpetrate more violence than women and family violence. There's and when they use violence, it tends to be more serious. But what we don't talk about is so much as the male victims of violence and so male victims of males and male victims of females, and that's something that we need to talk about, because I think there'll be people out there who are victims who don't feel listened to. And we need to say, look, hey, we recognise you, and we're talking about this, and we'll support you.
Yeah. Well, I think telling the story. I'm running the men's centre. I've come across innumerable guys that have been, treated very harshly by their partners. But that's hard to look at. It's more the systems not responding to their needs. That I've got a real beef with, and I. I'll have to walk on a knife edge there without being too critical of local services, but and not blaming services as much as, you know, the existing structure and what funds them and so on. But yeah, guys have been cut out of the loop for care, and it's much like domestic male victims of sexual abuse. I mean, the men's center runs the local services for male survivors of sexual abuse, and it's beautiful that in the last 3 years the government has really stepped up and started providing specific services. But I've heard many stories from men that were excluded from services when they went to see somebody and they had a reasonable expectation to receive care, but they didn't. I think Ken Clearwater, for example, is doing a great job nationally and internationally about telling stories about men and keeping that on the agenda. But I can get my workers in to talk about their experience, possibly a couple of guys that talk as well about their own personal experience of what it was like. The Crown inquiry going on into survivors of abuse while in state care. That's something that we're connected to. Obviously, men and women, but it was more men that were affected. At least in Australia, it was more 2/3 of the victims were men, boys, now men. So it would be interesting to watch that develop and have some of those stories told again as well. What else we got that's coming up?
Well, one of the things that I'm not sure how we'll cover it exactly, but when masculinity and what?
Oh, I hate that word, masculinity. I cringe when I hear it now.
It's I don't know what it means. It means so many.
Does it? Okay. Well, I just think whenever people use it, usually they're they're criticizing. It's not like something that's held up as a masculinity and femininity are beautiful things, and it's inside of every one of us, and it's part of the yin yang. It's nothing like that. It's kind of like, oh, it's just dark, and it gets tied into fragile masculinity in my head, or toxic masculinity. So don't get me started on masculinity. I won't stop talking about it, even though I hate the word.
well, one of the reasons I want to discuss it is that the amount of times I've heard someone say something like, we need to have a serious talk about masculinity. so I think we should do that. We should have a serious talk.
Oh, I hate those.
We should have a serious talk about why they're wrong about it and why we're right.
Oh, good. Yeah.
But I think we're going to have to tackle that at some stage.
Okay.
I think that the discussion around it is potentially harmful by just discussing it as a negative most of the time. Mm. And we really need to add some positivity to it and just balance out the discussion a wee bit.
Sure. I'd hope we'd come across as really appreciating men. They do some remarkable things and so if we're talking about something like masculinity, it'd be done in a context of high regard, which is really unusual to talk about masculinity in men and having a regard. So I think if you're going to criticize or any group, you have to be giving at least 3 or 4 comments of positivity before you get into any of the criticism. It just doesn't work otherwise. It just sounds nasty, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd hope we'd be the ones to be able to do a really good job of discussions about that talk about masculinity.
Well, the one thing that kind of was a learning experience for me was there was some like flooding or something in Texas or something.
Yeah.
And all of these rednecks were out in their big ridiculous trucks rescuing people from the flood.
Yeah.
And doing the kind of stupid redneck things that we laugh at rednecks for in the service of other people and I was like, wait a minute, so all of that stupid redneck stuff actually means that they're able and willing to
take care of other people.
Exactly. It's like the person who isn't out doing slightly stupid stuff doesn't have the skills, hasn't developed the skills
to
do those kind of things. The kind of knowledge of, building a big stupid truck with, you know, huge tires or whatever.
Yeah. It
gives you hands-on skills and experience that allows you to actually help other people.
To do experience. And to fix our cars and keep the industry wheels of the world going.
And so I had to sit back and go, wait a minute, yeah, actually, I've been a little bit too critical of these guys. These guys are actually, I mean, if you look at them day to day, you can kind of go, oh, okay, I think that's a little bit silly. But they are the people who will come and rescue you when you need rescuing.
and people are acutely aware of that in Christchurch, aren't they, with the earthquakes. Running the men's center, I had a number of people pull me aside and said, I've never felt so grateful towards men. Because, you know, my neighbor came over, and there was something about it wasn't just a guy, it was a man, you know, that he came up with manly skills. He took down my chimney because it was going to collapse on top of my house. Nobody else could have done this. Actually, lots of guys could have, maybe some, you know, obviously some women as well, not maybe, but, you know, it was a guy, and everybody was acutely aware of those masculine skills. And same with me, you know, I had my house rebuilt, live in Brighton, and the guys are up at 4 a.m, sucking out something out of the sewer pipes and pumping it somewhere else. And it was going all night, and there were 3 or 5 guys standing there with flashing lights, and I felt a bit annoyed because it was in front of my house. And I thought, what a jerk I am. These guys are working their butts off, and they're probably getting $20 an hour or $25 an hour for doing an evening shift. And I thought that was hard in the midst of winter to be just doing this in 12 and 18-hour days. And I was seeing these men come into the men's center, and I thought, holy crap, you know, it was good to have us, you know, to see. And people were appreciating men in particular in those aspects. And I think it's kind of largely hidden those day-to-day that the guys are generally keeping the wheels of our roads and our infrastructure going. And, you know, I can go on about that for a little while, but it sounds too, I don't know. And it's funny when you appreciate men, all of a sudden it sounds like you're dissing women. Or I don't know. I get worried about that. You
it
know?
Does feel a little bit awkward, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you reminded me of I heard a story about a guy who, I think he might have been retired, and his hobby was driving up and down the freeway in America, yeah, helping people who have broken down.
Yeah,
and he had a truck full of tools and spares, and that was the way that he was. He showed his empathy and
he got his kicks and was giving in the world and relevant. And,
yeah, yeah. And I thought that's a really good example of kind of a masculine empathy. Yeah. You know, it's kind of
that's practiced but not acknowledged as maybe as much as it could be. That's that tenderness. I like the word tenderness in combined with masculinity because it says a sensitivity that is a masculine word to me.
Yeah, I think that we get caught up in the negative, and there really is a lot of kind of masculine tenderness and masculine empathy and masculine sympathy. And I mean, it feels a little bit awkward, yeah, but those things are there. It's just that they're not exactly obvious.
Well, it looks like we're wrapping things up here anyway. You've got a taste for where we're going to go with this program. I've got horrible aim. I'm sure we'll drift and wander and struggle, but I hope anybody listening, gives us some guidance along the way and helps keep us on track. What are you thinking, Ian?
We'll see you next time. Wait, Donald, you forgot something.
Oh, if you want to contact us, you can reach us through the Facebook page on the Canterbury Men's Centre. You can also get in touch with me directly, donald@canmen.org.nz. That's our website for the Canterbury Men's Centre, donald@. Or you could, I guess you could just subscribe to this podcast for Men Talk on Plains FM. I cannot stop. I cannot.